The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown His great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we continue our proximate preparation for Christmas, we continue to be led by the great 4th century O antiphons, which give us what the Church wants us to be doing on these days. Today's translation in the Gospel verse is again totally insufficient, as English translations some of the times are, but it's so rich and it helps us. First, O Rex Gentium, O King of the Nations. Before, it was just alluded that the Lord would be coming. Now it's explicit. We're saying to the one who is going to come to be King of all, O King of the Nations, et desideratus earum, and the desire of all the nations, even those Muslim nations, we could say today, in their search for God, are really searching for the type of union that God wants to give us through His Son, even if they're unconscious of it. Lapis angularis, you who are the cornerstone, the one on whom we should build our lives. Even if others reject you like the builders, we still want to become firm with you as our foundation. Qui facis utraque unum, who makes one out of all the various parts, who basically unites, who brings into one body. Come and save those you have formed from the clay. Come and save us, whom you created at the beginning. Come and recreate us. And that's a prism by which we can look at the readings today. John the Baptist's birth is the feature of the Gospel, but we already prophesy both him and the one to whom he would point in today's prophetic reading from Malachi, that the messenger was sent to prepare a way before the Lord. And that person would announce the one who would come and purify. We're not just clay. We're gold, is what Malachi is telling us for God. But we're gold that's become impure. And so we need the Lord's work in order to bring us back to whom we really are. And we need that holy fire to burn away all the dross. Do we think of ourselves that way? That from the beginning we were made very good, but morally at times we've become bad. On certain occasions, very bad. But that doesn't change who we really are. The whole mission of John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord is to bring us back to that full purity. In the old rite, there's a beautiful prayer that is said by the priest at the altar that nobody else hears. It says, "You who created us at the beginning, and even more miraculously repaired us." That's the work of the Incarnation. Jesus has come to repair us so that we might become as brilliant as gold again. And at the end of this passage, something very important that's going to lead into what Zechariah will tell us at the end of the gospel from today, which we'll hear tomorrow. Qui facis utraque unum, you who unite, who's come to bring us all together, says, lo, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, to reunite the generations, to make everybody one. That's what the Vicar of Christ has really been trying to do. It was quite noteworthy that when he went to World Youth Day, when he was giving his talks on the prior to World Youth Day, as well as various of his addresses to the 3.7 million young people who'd come from across the world to be with him on Copacabana Beach, he was talking about the elderly just as much as he was talking about kids. Because he said a true society, especially the church, has got to do very good two things. We've got to care for the very, very young and vulnerable, and we have to care for the very old and vulnerable. It's the young who give everybody hope. They are the future. And when we're not having kids, or we're not really dedicating our resources to kids, we don't have great hope. But the seniors are supposed to be those real agents of wisdom in the entire culture. Most people are going to focus on those in the middle. Those who are incredibly productive and useful to society, they'll always get the attention. The advertisers will always go for the people in that age group between 29 and 54. The businesses and social policy will always go to those workers in the middle class. But it's those on the extremes that can get forgotten. And Jesus has come to bring us all together. And what a beautiful thing it is every time we celebrate Christmas. When parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and all the youngest babies all come together in order to celebrate what's most important in life. That's what this King of the Nations, the desire of all people, the cornerstone, wishes always to do. Not only to reform us and return us to that gold individually, but to help us to recognize that others likewise are precious. In the gospel today, so we see the fulfillment of that prophecy of Malachi in the life of Elijah Novus, the new Elijah, St. John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way for the Lord and to announce that reunification, that process of purification with the Lord. We see two things about his birth that we should be reflecting on as we approach the Lord's birth in 2 days. The first is the naming. You know, in Jewish culture at the time, you were always named after a family member. If you weren't named after a family member, things seemed very, very weird. And it was always the father who would name, but we know that Zechariah had been muted by the angel Gabriel because of his doubt for 9 months. So he couldn't speak. So they asked Elizabeth, what are you going to call him? She said, after they thought his name would be Zechariah Jr., no, he will be named John. The word John means God is gracious. God actually does grace. That's his job description. He pours his own life out to people. Grace is our participation as creatures in God's eternity. That's what grace is. It's not so much a thing as a relationship. God does that. That's what his name was going to be. But because the woman, fortunately, had no rights in that culture, they thought that that was way too bold, and so Zechariah had to confirm it. His name is John. His name is God Does Grace. John the Baptist was going to be coming to announce that God does grace. He's going to be doing that grace in us. That's the grace of purification. That's the grace of his presence. about which we were talking yesterday. And when Jesus would be named, it would even be something more spectacular. He would be Emmanuel, God with us. He would be God saving us in the flesh, Yeshua. So we should ponder that name as we sing to Jesus or we visit Him in the various presepios that we'll have in our home and in the church. We should always relate to Him under those terms. And then secondly, we've got the actual birth and what everybody was saying when He was born. What then will this child be? That's also the question that needs to be pondered when we reflect on Jesus' birth. What then will this child be? What child is this, as we will sing, before whom we will fall to our knees? To enter into the mission of Jesus as we ponder the meaning of His birth and life should provoke in us the pondering of our own birth and life. Why am I here? What's the purpose that I'm still alive? And the answer to that question is to become that gold and to collaborate with the refiner in going out to purify others, to become John the Baptists, those to whom God does His grace, and then who become dispensers of those gifts in the midst of a world that needs these gifts more than almost anything that's going to be under the trees in 2 days. Today, as we come forward, as we prepare to receive the Rex Gentium, the Desideratus Eorum, the King of the Nations, and the deepest desire of them all, we ask Him for the grace of purifying us, to return us to who we really are, of helping us to construct our entire life, every single part of it on Him, so that He who formed us from the clay might make us a vessel of clay, bearing within the most incredible and precious treasure of all. This is what we celebrate. This is what we're preparing for. Come, Lord, and save us.